Psalm 88, which is on page 597 in the Blue Church Bibles. Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend.
Marcel, thanks so much for reading for us. Please keep that psalm open. We're going to skim a stone across these verses. Now, the culture that we live in is all about positivity, and it doesn't really give us the tools or help us to cope with such negative emotions that we've just heard read in this psalm. And actually reading it can make us feel really uncomfortable. And as Christians, we can easily assimilate to the world around us and expect life to just go comfortably along for us with little bumps, little diversions, and certainly no stop signs on the way. The Christian writer and theologian Carl Truman said in an article called "What Can Miserable Christians Sing?" He said this: "I would like to make the observation that the Psalms, the Bible's own hymn book, have almost entirely dropped from view in the contemporary Western evangelical scene. I'm not certain about why this should be, but I have an instinctive feeling that it has more than a little to do with the fact that a high proportion of the Psalms is taken up with lamentations, with feeling sad, unhappy, tormented, and broken. In modern Western culture," he says, "these are simply not emotions which have much credibility. Sure, people still feel these things, but to admit that they are a normal part of one's everyday life is tantamount to admitting that one has failed in today's health and wealth and happiness society." And so this psalm in front of us this evening is a unique psalm, because unlike the majority of psalms that we can read, it's only one of two that doesn't have a hopeful or happy or positive ending, as it ends with the words, "Darkness is my only friend." And so why on earth are we looking at such a depressing, miserable, hopeless psalm together this evening when it's so beautiful outside? I mean, why? What is this psalm even doing in the Bible? And the answer to that question is, it's doing us a lot of good. And so here are three reasons why it's good. Christians in the West are naive about the inevitability of suffering in their lives, and so when we go through such periods, we can be overthrown by them. Secondly, one in six people experience mental health problems. And so some of these words from the psalmist will directly apply to some people here this evening. And thirdly, as Christians, we are called by Jesus to mourn with those who mourn. And so it's helpful for us to hear how they may be feeling, or people in this situation, and know how we are supposed to respond and help one another. And so as we come to this psalm together tonight, there are two things I want us to look briefly at. The first point is looking at our life when darkness descends. And the second one is to look at the whispers of light that can be found on the edges of this psalm. And so firstly then, our life when darkness descends. Now, if we scan over the verses in front of us, what we'll see is the repeated word darkness. It appears three times in this psalm. And so, although we don't know exactly what the psalmist is going through, I actually think this is a really helpful thing for us because it means that we can apply it to our own situation, whatever that is. Now, there are two types of darkness that we can experience. We can experience darkness outside of us and then darkness inside us. And so, firstly then, darkness outside of us. That is our living and our experiences living in a fallen world. And as we look at the psalm, we can see in verse 3 that he is overwhelmed with trouble. And then verse 8, all his closest friends and loved ones have been taken away from him, and he seems to be facing death without hope. It looks as though he has reached his limit. I just can't see a way out of his troubles. But at the same time, he's also experiencing darkness inside. It's almost you can deal with darkness on the outside if you haven't got darkness going on in the inside. And although he says in verse 1 that he trusts the Lord as his Savior, what he knows in his head doesn't match up with how he feels in his heart. He feels isolated from God. He feels abandoned, rejected by God. There's no sense inside him where he feels that God loves him or cares for him. And this profoundly affects him emotionally, physically, spiritually, and it's been going on for a very long time. He's been praying to God. He's been doing everything right, and yet his situation hasn't changed. Verse 8, he says, I am confined and cannot escape. He's still in darkness. His situation hasn't changed. And this psalm shows us that not only can the darkness we experience occur for a long time, it also shows us that this experience is not discriminatory. It doesn't matter who you are, what be your background. You may be a good person, you may be a faithful follower of Jesus, you may pray like crazy, and yet still everything can go wrong. We need to know that we're not being punished for something that we've done in our past or not doing right in the present. There's no rhyme or reason why we experience suffering in our lives. And in the darkness, we can feel no sense of God's presence. And although it may say in the Bible that God has a purpose behind everything, we may never know the purpose of it in this lifetime. And it's important to know that this because it'll stop us endlessly giving ourselves a hard time for the past. It'll stop us giving out platitudes when we try and comfort people who are in a dark place. And it helps us to manage our expectations for this life and think, I'm a good person. God would never allow that to happen to me. And I think one of the most striking things for me in this psalm as we read it is that the psalmist isn't controlling his temper. Do you notice? He's not controlling his tongue. He's not controlling his emotions. Verse 9 to 12, say this, come with me. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do the spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? He's even looking back over his entire life. And he says in verse 15, even in my youth I suffered. He's taken his present circumstances and he's reading his entire life through the lens of this suffering and says, you've never been with me. You've never helped. Now, if you've ever been in that sort of place, you'll recognize that that is what we do. Our troubles color everything. We start to look over all the troubles of our lives and we sort of exaggerate claims that God has never been with us through it. And like the psalmist, we can put God in the dock to cross-examine him. And notice with me that there isn't any reverence or respect in the way that he is talking to God. But you see, the wonderful thing about this psalm is the fact of its very presence is a witness to God understanding us. He knows how we speak to him when we're desperate. Now, God could have easily censored this psalm or taken it out of the Bible altogether, But he identifies with us and says, despite the way that you're talking to me, I am still your God. And one commentator put it this way. God is saying, I am your God, not because you have a happy face every morning, not because you say everything or do everything in the right way or you speak to me reverently. I am your God because I am a God of grace. And in spite of all the things you do wrong, I'm still your God. And actually, when we've gone through periods like this, we may even come to understand more of God's patience and grace towards us. God wants us to come to him in prayer, even like this. We don't have to pretend to God that we're handling things okay or to prove him that we're emotionally stable. He wants to know how we're really doing. He wants us to bring to him our troubles and our stresses, our anxieties, our disappointments, our frustrations, and our lack of faith. All to him in prayer and to be honest with him. And so, can you do that? Will we do that? In the book of Job, we find Satan taunting God, saying, does Job really serve God for nothing? And by this he means, your servant Job and all Job and all the other devoted disciples you have only serve you, God, because it pays them to do so. They're not really serving you because they're serving themselves, because they know if they do, you will answer their prayers. And so they're not loving you, but they're loving themselves. And I can prove it to you. Allow them to be plunged into darkness. Don't answer any of their prayers for a long time. Don't give them any sense of your presence in their hearts. Take away from them all their comforts. Set things up so that serving you and praying to you absolutely pays nothing, and you will see them curse you. And as we look at our own lives, and maybe over our lives, we can see that this accusation by the devil is not without basis, because we can see the self-centeredness of our hearts. But you see, the psalmist, yes, he's screaming to God. Yes, he's complaining to God. He's exaggerating. He's despondent. He's bitter with God. And at the end, he says, darkness is my only friend. But you see, he's still bringing them and bringing it all to God. He's still with God, staying with him, even though he's getting nothing immediate out of it. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that Satan is wrong and is defeated. We're saying to God, look, maybe I got into this relationship at first to serve me. And although I don't understand what's going on, and I'm really, really mad with you, I'm sticking with you. I'm not going anywhere because you are my God. And verse 1 says, you are the God who saves me. Notice the present tense. Despite all that he's going through, he starts by declaring God as his God. So even though he's struggling to feel it, he knows it. And one pastor described this process of sticking with God under this kind of pressure will turn your heart into something wonderful, like the pressure that turns a lump of coal into a diamond. And you'll see yourself serve God for nothing immediate. So firstly, we need to know and be prepared that in our lives, darkness will descend. But very briefly, before we get into prayer, I want us to see that in this psalm, we can see, secondly, a whisper of light for our comfort. Before the psalm starts, we can see in our Bibles that the composer of this prayer or song was a guy called Heman. And we know from Chronicles chapter 6 that he is a leader of the guild of musicians and poets who wrote the Psalms. And so he was involved in writing some of the greatest songs in the world. And what this shows us is that this darkness turned him into someone who could share his experience and help millions of people. We see from his vantage point at that time of writing this psalm, he thought that God had abandoned him. He couldn't see any purpose in what he was going through. And that could be us right now. But God hadn't abandoned him. It just felt like he had. And the darkness that he was going through and felt was absolute permanent. And we can know this truth for ourselves. because we can have an even greater vantage point when we look at our time now. We can read Psalm 88, and it helps us to think of actually the description of Jesus as he entered into a darkness, as he felt overwhelmed by troubles, how he experienced the wrath of God, the abandonment of his friends. And so ultimately, this psalm, Psalm 88, is a description of what Jesus experienced on the cross for us. He took the ultimate darkness for us so that our darkness will only be apparent and not absolute and total. Jesus was totally abandoned, so we can only feel abandoned. And when we really think about it, Jesus didn't abandon you or me on the cross, but he died for you and me. And so if under the most extreme darkness, he didn't abandon us, then why in the world would he abandon you now? And so we can know that he won't abandon us now in our present darkness, whatever that looks like. This prayer here in the heart of the scriptures and approved by God is so encouraging because it's possible to speak like this, feel like this, and still be a believer. It's a song that was designed to be sung by God's people as they gather together like this. And so we shouldn't be frightened of lamenting before God. And although he doesn't want us to stay in this state, we shouldn't be too quick to condemn others for thinking this way. As their real experiences and feelings for Christians who live in a broken world and live with a broken self. But remember, in those times, we'd appoint each other to the Lord Jesus, who has experienced the darkness of this world, the total abandonment of God, and poured out his anguish to God on the cross. And yet through his resurrection, we have a God who ultimately saves us and never forsakes us. And even when it feels like the last line of our lives is, darkness is my closest friend, we know from the Bible that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, who is the light that banishes all darkness forever.